I've got something I want to talk about today. You know what day it is? Everybody knows what today is. It's the last day of Hanukkah, right? Yeah, see? You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Well, I am. I am going to say something else. No matter who you are or what religious ideology you hold to, the winter holiday season involving Christmas will be a challenge, right? It is a challenge to non-believers as they are continually presented with the message of the birth of Yeshua the Messiah into a world that is lost in sin, right? Secondly, the Christmas holiday is a challenging time for many Christians who seek to remember the birth of their Savior, but at the same time all too often indulge themselves in overly frivolous gift giving. And thirdly, the Christmas season is a challenge to us Messianic believers as we choose not to celebrate the holiday. The Reformation certainly did a great deal of work eliminating the many non-biblical Roman Catholic traditions and theologies from the faith. Today, Protestants believe in salvation by grace through faith and in the priesthood of all believers, rejecting the claim that the Pope is the vicar of Christ on earth. Many evangelical Christians recognize that if something is primarily Catholic, it should be tested against the inspired Word of God to see if it is truly biblical. The Bible does not tell us to pray to saints or to confess sin to a priest. Scripture does not teach transubstantiation. Furthermore, Scripture does not tell us that Mary, we call her Miriam, the mother of the Lord Yeshua, is the mother of God, for our Creator has always been and ever will be. Many Protestants pride themselves on being sola scriptura, scripture only, right? However, it is an unfortunate reality that many Protestants today still adhere unknowingly to some non-biblical Catholic tradition. There are many practices and traditions among those who claim to serve the Messiah that can't be found in Scripture, but rather on customs established long since the death of the apostles and the early believers. All too often, it has been my unfortunate observation that many in the Messianic community, our community, strongly and vehemently criticize those in mainstream Christianity during the winter holidays. Statements along the line of Christmas is a pagan holiday are commonplace, and it turns many away from hearing the truth about a holiday that cannot be found in Scripture, but is seemingly a good holiday. Many Christians believe that when you denounce Christmas, you are denying the biblical reality of the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior. Certainly, Luke chapter 2 is part of our Holy Scriptures, and the miracle of the birth of Yeshua is a biblical event. In an effort to stress balance, grace, and understanding during the holiday season, among both Christians and Messianic believers, I have to offer you this Christmas challenge. Why is it asserted that many Christians, that if there are those who do not celebrate Christmas, then obviously such people cannot be true believers? Are we dangerous cultists who do not believe in the virgin birth of the Messiah? Obviously, Luke chapter 2 fully details the miraculous birth of Yeshua. And it's something that none of us should ever deny or consider unimportant. If Yeshua had not been born, he would not have grown up to become the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Amen. We would be unable to have his blood covering us and have no hope for forgiveness of sin. But what of the holiday they call Christmas? Where did it come from? If its celebration is not specified in Holy Scripture itself, then how did we get it? I'm going to read to you from a book by Susan Richardson, called Holidays and Holy Days. And it says, during the Roman Empire, people usually celebrated the birthdays of rulers and other outstanding people, though not necessarily on the exact date of their birth. The early Christians' desire to honor Christ's birth may come from the fact that they gave him the title and other honors that pagans give to their divine emperors. These Christians lived in a culture where the birth of a ruler was a major celebration. What could be more natural than celebrating the birth of the King of Kings? In Genesis 40:20, it says, "And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that there was a huge feast." So they were celebrating Pharaoh's birthday. Despite the logic of this, Christmas has long been surrounded by controversy. In the year 245, Origen wrote that even to consider observing it was a sin. Early Christians in Armenia and Syrians accused Roman Christians of sun worship for celebrating Christmas on December 25th. We probably would not fall into the same category as Origen, saying that commemorating the birth of the king is sin. We don't say that, because if that were the case, then we probably should take Luke chapter 2 out of our Bibles. However, we can find serious problem celebrating it at a time that has been historically associated with the honoring of a pagan deity. Richardson later comments that pagan celebrations held on December 25th included Mesopotamian celebrations for Marduk, Greek ones for Zeus, and Roman Saturnalia in honor of Saturn. In another book, Irvin and Sundquist in the History of World Christian Movement says, prior to the year 300, there had been no consensus among Christians concerning the date on which to celebrate the birth of Yeshua. Some argued for a spring date, but others suggested December 25th. That latter date, December 25th, was the day celebrated in honor of the invincible sun, S-U-N, who had grown in imperial favor through the 3rd century. Through the course of the 4th century, most Christians came to accept December 25th as the celebration of the birth of Jesus, integrating elements of solar monotheism with Christianity. The celebration of his birth on December 25th came as a result of generations of Christians long after the death of the apostles, as Christians of the 3rd and 4th century used syncretism, like fusion, to evangelize pagans. The original intent was to reinterpret the local religious holidays with biblical meanings in an effort to share the gospel. Without any doubt, the motives of many of these Christians were sincere, as they wanted to adapt their faith to the pagans around them and use biblical overtones of their holidays to spread the good news. How do you bring someone to Christ? You meet them where they're at. However, such adaptations came at a time after the destruction of Jerusalem, when anti-Semitism was at a serious all-time high in the Roman Empire, and the believers in Yeshua were ejected from the synagogue. According, anything perceived as Jewish, namely the biblical appointments of Leviticus 23, would be looked down upon and not to be observed. Substitute and replacement holidays had to be created, and instead, Christmas is a reality to this very day. How Christmas has been celebrated over the centuries has been determined on a variety of cultures and Christian denominations. The name Christmas comes from the words Christ's Mass, or a service that is held in Roman Catholic churches. Many Protestants realize many of the non-biblical elements of the Roman Catholic service certainly derive from paganism, the foremost of which is transubstantiation. So the name Christmas has already, to an extent, been tainted. What is perhaps most disturbing is that such masses exist on the Roman Catholic service calendar, such as Michael's Mass, a service to be held for the Archangel Michael, which I think is kind of strange, don't you? For many Protestants throughout the centuries, Christmas was not like we consider it today. For those living in Great Britain and America in the colonies, Christmas Day was a very serious occasion where a family would attend church services. They would sing hymns about the birth of the Lord and return home and sometimes exchange small gifts in remembrance of the 3 magi who gave gifts to Yeshua. There would have been no Christmas tree. Up until the 19th century, in the middle of the 19th century, Christmas trees were unheard of in either Britain or the United States. The earliest recorded account of a Christmas tree is from 1605 in Strasbourg, Germany. By the 1700s, the custom was firmly embedded in Germany, and Christmas trees were mainly a German custom, When German settlers came to Pennsylvania in the early 19th century, they brought the Christmas tree with them. President Franklin Pierce set up the first Christmas tree outside the White House in 1856. By 1877, the custom was well established. In 1923, President and Mrs. Calvin Coolidge began the custom of lighting the national tree in the White House grounds. In England, Prince Albert, in a can, popularized the Christmas tree in the 1840s. The English people had heard of Christmas trees before then, but his decision to set up a tree for his family spread the custom. I woke you up, huh? The most common modern-day association with Christmas is obviously the Christmas tree. Its usage for honoring the Lord, of course, is not detailed anywhere in the Bible. Rather, it was a tradition introduced from Germany into Britain and the United States and has become quite popular all around the modern world. Unfortunately for those Christmas tree lovers, Holy Scripture strongly prohibits us from introducing decorated trees into our home for adoration. Let me read to you Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2 through 5. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them, for the customs of the peoples are delusion. Because it is wood cut from the forest, the work of the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They decorate it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers so that it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field are they. And they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them, for they can do no harm, nor can they do any good. Many Christians have astutely observed that those Bible verses speak of pagan idolatry. Now, are we accusing Christians today who truly know Yeshua as their Savior of participating in idol worship? No. But let's be aware of what the Torah tells us. In Deuteronomy 16:21, you shall not plant for yourself an Asherah or any kind of tree besides the altar of the Lord your God, which you shall make for yourself. Certainly, we can't accuse all believers of participating in idolatrous worship of trees. However, the Word of God clearly prohibits us from adorning trees in our homes. And these quotations from Jeremiah and Deuteronomy are the most explicit examples of a Christmas tree in Scripture. For even if believers who in ignorance have Christmas trees in their home and do not worship them, even as Jews, we were celebrating Christmas for years. My grandfather dressed up and we had a tree. He wanted to be American. He came over from Europe and Germany and he didn't know. He thought it was a secular holiday and I guess he brought the German tradition with him of Kris Kringle and all that stuff, but we had a tree and as a child I celebrated Christmas and Hanukkah even though I was totally Jewish. My grandfather using trees as part of religious celebrations go back well beyond the first recorded Christmas tree. Egyptians decorated green date palm trees indoors for winter solstice rites. Romans hung trinkets on pine trees during Saturnalia and used evergreens for another ceremony. In Britain, Druids placed candles, cakes, and apples in tree branches as offerings. Some Christians, when confronted with the truth forbidding Christmas trees, have stated these things along the lines of, in many cultures, trees symbolize life. Do you ever hear that from a Christian? Justifying their use of something that has roots in idolatry. In addition to just the Christmas tree, an evergreen is employed in various decorations throughout the Christmas season. Unfortunately, this is not what Holy Scripture says. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it over to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. So our eternal life is neither found nor represented in evergreen trees, but rather in the shed blood of our Messiah, Yeshua, in which we have confidence to enter the holy place and be forgiven from our sins. The argument that to the ancients evergreens symbolized life and thus we have them in our homes, it's kind of weak there. What did the ancients do when they celebrated? The Romans had wild, here's the word again, orgies, where they took hallucinogenic drugs. They probably had LSD and stuff like that. They consumed vast amounts of alcohol and had illicit group, you know what. Following in their patterns, should we do those things when we celebrate? Oh no, God forbid. Scripture says, do not get drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge, Hebrews 13:4. Certainly we should rejoice in our Messiah Yeshua and remember him every day of the year. Every day is like every other day. But we should not knowingly participate in things that are directly forbidden in Scripture and are connected to idolatry. We cannot judge the heart intent of those who have Christmas trees in their homes during the winter season. But Scripture forbids this practice. Christmas trees have nothing to do with the birth of our Messiah. They are rather a vain tradition that has been adapted by Christianity. Certainly, the many Christians who have Christmas trees do not worship them. But knowing their origin should hopefully be conviction enough to repent of their sin. If it is acceptable to have a tree in one's house, it is likewise acceptable to have a statue of Buddha or some other pagan god in your house too. I don't feel the need to address Santa Claus and the 8 tiny reindeer. Such things are as factual as the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny. I hope I didn't break anybody's bubble here. These are all child's myths and have no place among believers in seemingly biblical celebrations such as Christmas. The propagation of the existence of Santa Claus during Christmas time to young children and the revelation of him not being real later on has resulted in many people denying the truth of Yeshua. So it has an opposite effect, actually, on children. They would deny the truth that Yeshua is real also, because they can't see him either. Is there any specific reference to Christmas in Scripture? As I've already stated, there are many prophecies that speak of the virgin birth, and then scriptures that speak of the event itself, but this is not Christmas itself per se. But it is the holiday of Christmas. Is it mentioned in Scripture at all? Some Christians would actually say yes. And if it is indeed Christmas, then it is a place that we should all get very concerned. It's in Revelation chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom, in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. I once heard that after the two witnesses of the book of Revelation are killed, that the holiday of Christmas will occur. This is based on the assumption that since the world will make merry and send gifts to one another, that it must be Christmas time. In Russia, they don't give gifts at Christmas time. When they were communists, they gave them on New Year's Day. So, you know, it could be another holiday that they're referring to, where people exchange gifts and not Christmas itself. But the fact that many Christians believe that this holiday is Christmas is extremely disturbing. If the only reference to Christmas in the Bible that Christians can present us with is a passage that speaks about the murder of God's two witnesses, then we should most certainly reevaluate our participation in it, don't you think? Already many secularists are doing the best to eliminate the Christ from Christmas. The whole world is trying to get rid of that, aren't they? Yeah. Which most Christians would view as a sign of apostasy. But Christmas is not a biblical holiday. So technically, it is not an apostasy to do that. But this might be what is necessary to encourage believers to participate in the God-given festivals that are specified in Leviticus 23, rather than in substitute holidays that are tainted by false practices. Many believers who decide to give up the Christmas tree and the trappings of the holiday want to know what they should do. A valid alternative that many discover is the celebration of Hanukkah, which often occurs in December around the same time as Christmas. But, as unfortunately been the case for many, Hanukkah presents become substitutes for Christmas presents, and the birth of Messiah is something that is looked down upon. It must be emphasized that Hanukkah, surprisingly by many Christians and some believers, has not been mandated in the Holy Scripture. It's a non-biblical holiday. However, unlike Christmas, Hanukkah should be considered extra-biblical as opposed to non-biblical. It's not a non-biblical, it's an extra-biblical. You've got to know these terms. The events of which are detailed in the books of 1 through 4 Maccabees, which are in the Apocrypha. The story of Hanukkah is quite moving and inspiring, and it speaks of the Maccabees' defeat of the Syrian Greeks and the rededication of the temple. It's notable, though, that the events surrounding the story of Hanukkah took place long after the division of ancient Israel into the northern and southern kingdoms and their respective exiles. I encourage all believers to celebrate Hanukkah, but emphasize that it is imperative to keep it in its proper perspective. We must not uplift this celebration over the birth of Messiah Yeshua, who was conceived at Hanukkah. If you decide to celebrate this holiday with your family, do not forget who the light of the world is. Also remember that as the Lord is in the process of restoring all Israel, this should be a time that we all rededicate, the word Hanukkah means to dedicate, ourselves unto Him and seek reconciliation with one another. The only reference to Scripture in Scripture of Hanukkah is, of course, in the New Testament in John chapter 10, verses 22 and 23, we find the only Jewish person in the whole Bible celebrating Hanukkah, and that's Yeshua. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Yeshua was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. They don't actually state that he celebrated Hanukkah, but we can infer that he did. Hanukkah is a national commemoration for Israel, much like the 4th of July celebrations for Americans, but it has strong religious overtones. We should have no problem rejoicing in the historical triumphs of our Jewish believers, our brethren, but likewise we should not uplift them over the miraculous birth of our Lord and Savior, which substantially more Scripture is dedicated to. It's an unfortunate predicament that many Messianics who do not celebrate Christmas mercilessly and vehemently criticize Christians who do. I hear it around here. This, in the long run, will not work well for the Messianic movement. It also hurts us here at ADOT. We turn people off when we attack them. And we turn many Christians off to the truth that God is restoring to His people. If we chase them away by calling their holidays pagan, that'll seriously deter many sincere believers to even re-examine the holiday. They don't want to look at it if you call them pagans. That's a horrible thing to say to somebody. It may be true that Christmas is not a biblical holiday, but by calling it pagan, many Christians will interpret these statements as meaning that we reject the virgin birth of Messiah Yeshua, which we do not. It is more appropriate to call Christmas a non-biblical holiday, which is an accurate description that should not get as many people heated or turned off of the truth as the term pagan does. Pagan is a horrible word. Fortunately, we serve a Creator who is much bigger than we are, and He looks beyond our many shortcomings. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. So speaks Numbers 14:18. The Lord will honor those who celebrate Christmas in ignorance, who do not realize its questionable connections. During the Christmas season, many Christians will seek to please the Lord, and He who is in control of all things will use nativity scenes and the proclamation of the birth of the Messiah to bring many to himself. During the Christmas season, the Lord will also no doubt look beyond the contentious attitudes of many messianic believers who unwarrantedly criticize Christmas without love, without grace, without mercy. As messianic believers, we need to be very tactful during the Christmas season. We should always be tactful in all of our words. We should not vehemently and cruelly criticize those who celebrate Christmas, lest they think we are denying the Messiah's birth. That's what they could think. We must not only emphasize negative aspects of the holiday. Many messianics who observe the biblical feast of Leviticus 23 have been found wanting all too often by excluding Messiah Yeshua's substance in them. Don't become a Jew who goes to the synagogue. Become a believer, a Gentile, because life is futile unless you're a Gentile. At many messianic Passovers, the Last Supper and sacrifice of Yeshua for us is barely spoken of in many messianic groups. Many fail to emphasize that Shavuot is all about the Torah and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, being given to us. And the latter is seldom talked about at many commemorations, at Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, the gathering of the saints, the return of Yeshua, and the wrathful day of the Lord are not usually emphasized. And we just might find it appropriate to emphasize his birth at Sukkot, because that's when he was born. The Feast of Tabernacles, instead of remembering it on December 25th. Furthermore, how many messianic Hanukkah celebrations will be devoid of honoring the light of the world? What you do during the winter holiday season is ultimately up to you, and is between you and God. Whether you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, or do nothing at all, I certainly cannot be the Holy Spirit for you, because God himself is the one who must judge the intentions of the heart. The Christmas challenge for messianic believers is not going away anytime soon, so we must endeavor to be as loving and as grace-filled as much as possible when showing Christians the problems with Christmas. We must not forget the words of a Messiah Yeshua who said, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." That's in Matthew 7:2. If we mercilessly attack people for celebrating Christmas who in their minds are honoring the birth of the King of Kings, we will be mercilessly attacked by the same for honoring the Lord's appointed times. Believe me, we do get attacked. We will become part of the problem as opposed to being the solution, and Satan will have won once again. Amen? Hallelujah. Remember that. Thank you all.